Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Words of the Wise podcast, hosted by me, Lexi Maynard. Our mission is to capture the words and wisdom of the world's elderly so that their story and legacy may last forever. Like what we're about? Then be sure to subscribe to receive instant updates on new episodes. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Words of the Wise Podcast, or on Twitter at Words of W Podcast as well. Joining us today for episode number 24 is Gene Amlin. Full of laughter and a youthful spirit, you're sure to enjoy this man's story. Here is Gene Amlin, episode 24.
Okay, hello. This is Gene Amlin, and I'm ready for your questions.
All righty. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in outside of a little town near Tiffin, Ohio, Bascom, Ohio. Nobody ever heard of it. I was born in a farmhouse there.
Okay. And how many siblings did you have?
I had five brothers and a sister, and one of my brothers and my sister are already gone. Okay. So they're just the rest of us brothers left.
Mm-hmm. And where did you fall in that order?
I'm the biggest, dumbest, and oldest.
Me too. You grew up during the Great Depression. What was that like for you and your family?
Oh, we had a great bunch. We really did. And my sister and I were very close. She died of breast cancer about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I remember when she didn't make the cheerleading squad as a sophomore, I can remember coming crying to me about that. And the next year she made it. And my brother George is the youngest. He's 14 years younger than I. He went to Ohio State and is a mechanical engineer. He made the football team there as a walk-on. Never played very much under Woody Hayes, but he was a very good athlete and obviously a very good student. He worked all over the world with DuPont after he graduated. And he's now living in Pennsylvania.
So you obviously were a kid during the Great Depression.
Yeah.
And how was that for you and your family?
Oh, I can't say that. I think it was all right.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't realize that what was going on necessarily? Like, were there rationings or any of that sort of thing that you had to deal with?
No, not really.
Mm-hmm. What is your earliest childhood memory?
Oh, Earth jumping off of the porch steps and rupturing myself. That's the earliest thing I remember. I remember having to go to the hospital and having an operation to correct that.
Oh, no.
That's we lived in Toledo, Ohio at that time, just for a short period. Yeah, and then, of course, growing up, we lived out in the country, and I was out in the fields and streams every day, you know. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time, I hate to admit it, but I used to trap. And I caught a darn skunk in my trap. And I didn't know what in the world to do to get him loose without getting sprayed. So I went home and got my bow and arrow. I got my bow, waited till he turned around the other way. And I actually pressed on the trap and let him go. And another time involving a skunk, I used to work in the summers on a road construction crew. And when I would get home at night, I would run in the fields to get shaped for football. And one night, it was always dark, I ran right into a skunk, and he was facing towards me, and he got me good. I went home, and Mom made me throw those clothes away. But I kept on running.
That's funny. Did you have any hobbies growing up, or what were your hobbies growing up?
Oh, my hobbies were hunting and fishing. Fishing is still a hobby. Mm-hmm. I hope to go to Florida here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
We'll get out of this weather. Yeah. I got to tell you about another incident. We used to drive around in my dad's old Model A Ford shooting at crows in the fields, okay? We got out of the car, for some reason got back in, and my friend had a pump rifle, .22, and he threw it in the back seat of the car, parallel to the seat. Fortunately, then he jumped in on top of it and the rifle went off and it shot a hole right through the side inside and it made a dent on the fender outside. I never told my dad. And about a year later, the glass broke on that side of the car, and I helped Dad replace the glass. I could see that dang little hole there all the time. I was holding my breath. He never saw it, and I never told him. It was a wonder we didn't kill ourselves. And another time, I almost did. We went fishing, and I let my friend carry my rifle, and I didn't know it, but he had it loaded, and it was cocked. And I heard a crow calling while I was fishing. And I picked the rifle up, rested it on my foot, squeezed the trigger, and shot myself through the foot.
Oh, my gosh.
Then we had to walk about a mile back to the car. And then I had to go home, wait for my dad to come home to take me to the doctor. And I can remember him running that dang Q-tip all the way through my toe. And I about lost it. And that's all he did. He put a disinfectant on, cleaned it out, wrapped it up, and I've just got a stiff toe.
Oh, my God.
Then I had a nice revolver. My brother, John, he wanted to use it for a while. So he was down along the river practicing quick draw, and he shot himself through the leg. Fortunately, it didn't hit the bone. It was a through and through. And I get a call from my mom. She says, "Jane, you get that damn pistol and you take it back home." Like it was my fault. We had some interesting experiences.
Yeah, I love it. What was your favorite subject in school?
Goofing off. No, I don't know if I had a favorite subject. I really didn't.
Yeah.
So I guess I can't give you a good answer there.
Yeah.
I wasn't a very good student.
Oh, okay. So did you play sports when you were younger?
Football. In high school, college, and then I was on the Army boxing team when I was in the Army. Mm-hmm. That's all I did for about 8 months. Would get the crap beat out of me by those big black guys that were better boxers than I was. But I was lucky. I got I watched these guys running around the field with their combat boots on. So I asked somebody what they were doing, and they said, "Well, that's the boxing team, and they're getting in condition." So I never boxed before, so I decided to go out, and we got a real good Puerto Rican sergeant and then a black Army lieutenant from Wilberforce University. They were our instructors, and they were very good. Mm-hmm. They put me in with the smaller guys who were a lot quicker than I was, so I learned how to defend myself.
Yeah.
And I got to the point where I could take on all comers. I didn't win them all, but I won most of them. And I was only knocked down once. And we had those, I was in Puerto Rico in the Army, and we had those fights at San Juan and up at Henry Barracks up in the mountains. It was quite an experience.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more later, but we're going to continue talking about your childhood for just a little bit. What was your first pet? Do you remember?
Oh, my dog, Mickey. Yeah, I remember. I think he was 12 or 13 years old when he died, and I buried him out in the garden.
Oh.
Yeah, I really did like my dog.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember the most about your parents?
I just remember that we had a darn good bunch of brothers and sister, and I just have good memories about all of them.
Mm-hmm.
we lived in the country, and I remember... We were picking up corn ears after the picker had gone through, and we'd throw them over, and somebody would put them in a bushel basket. My brother Jim hauled off with one, threw it at George, hit him right in the side of the head. And, of course, Dad was with us, and Jim says, "George, you walk right in front of me." And he didn't. He threw it at him deliberately. Beamed him right in the head. Oh, golly.
Yeah. What would you say is the greatest thing that your parents taught you?
I think just to be honest, they were very good parents, very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was an alcoholic for a number of years. He eventually kicked it, but I can remember some bad times for a while. He thought he'd lick the world when he come home, but after, I don't remember when it was that he was able to quit it, but he was. He was a darn good dad, and my mother was really a tough old gal, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going out picking blackberries. She was 70 years old, and she was climbing fences with me to get at the blackberry bushes.
Oh my God. Do you have any particularly special memories or stories about your brothers and sisters?
Probably a lot of them, if I could recall them, but I think I've told you the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
Laura reminded me about George and Jim throwing all of our winter boots. We had an outhouse.
Okay.
Threw them all down into the outhouse. Dad and I had to tip that dang thing over and get down there with our hip boots and get them out and wash them off.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Why they did that? I don't know why they did that. Just honoring us. Yeah.
That's great. When you were younger, who would you say were your biggest influences? Like certain, are there any certain athletes, celebrities, mentors, anything like that, that you looked up to when you were young?
No, I would just look up to famous sports guys, and particularly in football and then in boxing. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed watching Joe Louis. You probably don't remember him. He was a heavyweight boxing champion of the world.
Oh, okay.
And there are other sports individuals that I admire. That would be mostly who I would have followed.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Joe Louis fighting Billy Kahn, it went 16 rounds, and I was over at the neighbors listening to it on the radio. And also remember when World War II started. I was outside playing, and my mother hollered for us to come in because there was some news on the radio that Japan had bombed Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. And I still remember that.
Yeah.
I was probably, I was 10 years old.
Wow.
And I was 15 by the time the war ended in 1945. And I went into the Army, and I just missed Korea by 1 year. Or I'd have been, a lot of my fellow friends in high school had to go to Korea at that time. But I went on to college and was deferred for 4 years. And when I graduated, I was automatically drafted. But I missed Korea by 1 year.
Oh, wow.
And I'm thankful that I never had to shoot at anybody, or nobody shot at me.
Yeah, you just punched some people with your boxing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good experience. I wouldn't want to make a living that way.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, you get battered and bruised, and you really have to be in good condition to fight very many rounds.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was watching boxing last night.
Oh, you were. So, did you have to walk to school each day?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not only walk, I had a bicycle. I had to go in the first grade. I think I probably had to go 2 or 3 miles. I went to a one-room schoolhouse with all 8 grades in that one room. Just about every row was a different grade.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you obviously played football in high school then too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really liked it. Mm-hmm. Wish I could do it again.
Yeah. Did you have a job growing up?
Yeah. I used to work on the farm for our neighbors. And then I had a friend whose dad was in the road construction and repair business. And for 4 summers, I worked for them and made quite a bit of money.
Really?
And then I gave all that money to my dad to help him pay off the farm that we lived on. And years later, he paid me back. I think I paid him $2,500, as I recall. And I forgot about it. And one day, Mom said he was sitting at the table trying to figure out the interest on it and couldn't do it. So he just gave me the $2,500.
When you were younger, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I don't know what I wanted to be. Eventually, I wanted to become an engineer. And I did.
Yeah.
I did. I studied for 8 years and worked full time. I was married and eventually had enough credits that I could take the professional engineer's exam. And I did, and I passed it. I didn't think I passed the darn thing. I was home studying to take it again, and the notice came that I passed. So I quit studying. And well, I had to take a 2-day exam in Columbus, Ohio, to get the engineering training certificate. And the second day that I was there, I felt a wetness in my drawers. So I went to the bathroom. Here I was bleeding. So I went ahead and finished the day out, went to the doctor. Here I had a cyst on my tailbone that broke loose. And I just packed it with toilet paper for the rest of the day and then went on home.
Oh, my goodness. So
that was an interesting experience. They cut quite a chunk out of me.
I can imagine. How old were you then?
Well, I probably would have been 22, roughly.
Wow. Yeah,
I was working in Newark, Ohio, in their water and sewer department at the time.
Mm-hmm. What was your first car?
Oh, I bought a 1936 Ford four-door sedan for $100, and it wasn't much. And coming home one night with my brother Bob, the front right spring broke, threw me over into the ditch, and that was the end of my 36 Ford.
So then after high school, you obviously went to college. Where did you go to college?
I went to Heidelberg University in Tiffin, Ohio, a small college. Made a lot of good friends there, and I'm still in touch with a couple of the guys on the football team. Mm-hmm. And one of them lives down in Florida, Paul Yockey, but he's about the only one left anymore, he and I.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to school there because you could play football there, or where else were you looking?
That's why I went. Yeah, what I did, after I graduated from high school, I went to work at a bunch of different jobs, and my dad wanted me to go to college, and I didn't. Then I realized that he knew what he was talking about. So I went to my high school football coach and asked him to go out to Heidelberg and talk to the football coach and see if he would give me a chance. Well, he did. I got a $400 scholarship. And I lived at home. So that's what I did. And it was a great experience. Great experience.
Would you say that you have any particularly, like, what are your best memories from playing football in college?
The best memories are after the Muskingum game. Muskingum is a very good college down in southern Ohio. After the Muskingum game, the Muskingum coach came over to our locker room and shook my hand. And I was so flabbergasted, I didn't know what to say. Evidently, I played well, but I didn't know it. That's one of the best memories I had.
Yeah.
Then I made the... I'm on the College Football Hall of Fame there at the college as a lineman. And not very many linemen make that. Usually it's the quarterbacks and the backs. They're the ones that get all the attention. But I had some good friends on the selection committee. And I made the All-Ohio football team in my senior year. And that was all the colleges in Ohio except Ohio State. Mm-hmm. So I had a good football career. Like I say, I wish I could do it again.
Yeah,
there aren't many of us left. Our linebacker, Jack Murphy, was a very good football player. He went on to become coach of Toledo. And just recently, he's gotten dementia. He doesn't even know anybody anymore. And I hate that.
Yeah. So then when did you graduate from college?
1954. Mm-hmm. But then I went back after I got in the Army. I went back for 8 years, you know, doing study so I could take that engineer's exam.
Mm-hmm. So then obviously after you graduated from college, you were drafted to join, like go to the Army. What was your role in the Army?
I was a medical aid man trained to carry the wounded off the battlefield. Oh. That was my job.
Oh, wow. And where were you stationed? Did you say Puerto Rico?
Well, yeah, I went to Fort Knox, Kentucky the first 8 weeks. And then I went to Fort Sam Houston the second 8 weeks. And on Christmas Day, I was on a troop ship heading for Puerto Rico.
Oh, my.
There were a group of four or five of us who evidently did well during the physical training portion of the second 8 weeks. We got our choice of where to go. We could have gone to Germany, Austria, Alaska, Puerto Rico, I forget where else. Anyhow, I was married at the time, so I chose Puerto Rico. I wanted to go to Alaska, but I went to Puerto Rico.
Yeah. What would you say is your craziest story from your time in the Army?
Cutting my finger off.
Cut your finger off?
I was making a mailbox, and I borrowed my Puerto Rican neighbor's saw, actually a planer, and I was running this board through the darn thing, and it hit a knot. My fingers went into the blade, and it cut this finger right off of the joint. That's my craziest remembrance.
Oh my gosh, that is crazy. It's terrible. What did you say that the Army taught you?
I'm not sure. Well, discipline. I think discipline is probably the biggest benefit of any armed services. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say you do what you're told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or else.
Yeah. So obviously you talked about earlier how you boxed in the Army. What was your favorite part about this experience?
Well, I think the favorite part was when I fought a guy that outweighed me by 30-some pounds. And I didn't beat him. He beat me on points, but he only knocked me down once. I think that was the best memory that I have. I fought a lot of good boxers, and most of them were, you know, black guys that had boxed before, and they were good. Mm-hmm. They're a lot better than I was. I just try to hit them and knock them down. Wasn't always successful.
Yeah. What was the atmosphere like at those boxing matches? Were there a lot of people there, or what was it like?
Yeah, they were all armed forces guys. Yeah, I don't remember whether the public was invited or not, but I don't think so. We had one match there on our base, and it was all Army guys. Most of them there in the battalion. I think there's a couple thousand guys in a battalion. Most of them were there.
Mm-hmm. And then when did you finally return to America? Like, when were you done serving in the Army?
It would have been 1956, I think May or June of 56.
Mm-hmm. And obviously you wanted to be an engineer when you returned. Why did you want to do this career?
I just liked what engineers do. You know, they build roads, bridges. But I was interested in doing environmental work, water plants, wastewater treatment plants, lift stations, force mains, things like that. That's what I was doing. I was working for a utility in Tiffin, Ohio, and then in Newark, Ohio. And then I came to Muncie, and that's what I wanted to do. And that's what I did most of my life,
mm-hmm.
most of my working life. Mm-hmm. I wound up working for an engineering firm out of Indianapolis, okay. A large firm, and worked there 8 years and retired.
Mm-hmm. And what career advice would you give to someone who is about to enter the workforce? So like, I'm in college, I'm about to go look for a job. What advice would you give me as I'm looking or thinking about what I want to do for the rest of my life?
Well, I think that would be up to the individual, you know, what their particular tastes are. Some people want to do environmental work. Some people want to get into roads and bridges. Some people want to become electrical engineers. So it would depend upon what your particular interests are, and then go after it.
Mm-hmm.
Go after it. That's what I did, and I was lucky because I'm not the best student in the world, but I was able to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
My job basically at the engineering firm I worked for was to work with guys who were a lot smarter than I was on design, and then go out and get the job, you know, deal with individuals and cities to get their work and bring it back, price it out, and monitor the design. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I worked a job for the city of Indianapolis for about a year. That about drove me crazy because of the assholes I had to work for there. Oh, Lord, they were awful. Strike that.
I will. I'll edit that out.
Yeah, they were, honestly. Honestly, we argued. I bet we argued for a week about the concrete finish and a lift station down below in the basement. It was ridiculous, you know. The contractor did a good job of smoothing it all out, but this one guy just wasn't satisfied, and we argued and argued, and finally he gave up. But I bet it took 2 weeks. But that's just an example of what the job was all through.
Yeah.
It was a learning experience.
Yeah.
In fact, I had to get another guy to help me with it to handle all the crap that we had to deal with.
So then transitioning into your life with your wife, how did you meet your wife, Ann?
I went to a church festival one time where they had, you know, games and food. And I saw these three gals over to the side, and I didn't know them. They're all three good looking. And I got to talking with them, and I soon recognized that my wife was the nicest one of the bunch. And then I eventually worked up my courage to take her out. That's how I met her. And I was right.
Do you remember your first date or how you asked her on that first date?
No, I really don't. I really don't. She was a telephone operator. You know, that was when they had to have operators plugging the plugs in. And I would always wait until after she was off at night to pick her up. And I don't remember what we did on our first date. Probably went to a movie, but I don't know.
And how old were you?
I probably was 22 then.
Okay.
Yeah. That's about right.
Mm-hmm. And how long did you date before you asked her to marry you?
Oh, probably about a year.
And do you remember how you proposed, how you asked her to marry you?
No. I bought a ring for her. I paid $200 for her. Wow. And went and asked her if it's okay to wear this ring and eventually marry me. And she agreed. I don't know, which one of the kids have that ring? Oh, Laura's got that ring.
Oh,
now Allie
does.
Oh, Allie.
Allie's got the diamond out of it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, how special. And then what was your wedding like?
Very brief. It was a church wedding, mm-hmm. and the reception was very brief. We didn't go to the extremes that some people do today. Mm-hmm. It didn't cost very much. I know that.
Mm-hmm. And when was your wedding? What was your anniversary?
That would have been October 7th, and that would have been 1956.
Okay. And then did you go on a honeymoon?
Yeah, I went to New York, Niagara Falls. It wasn't very original, so that's what we did. And we only had a couple of days because I had to go back and report. Mm-hmm. The Army.
Yeah.
I was on leave from the Army.
Yeah, wow. What was your favorite thing about Anne and why?
About my wife?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my favorite thing was she was a hell of a wife and mother, raised our five kids, and probably drove her crazy. And I got to tell you about, she got pregnant while we were in the Army in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And then the Army doctors would not let us travel to the hospital until the labor pains were so far apart. The hospital was 80 miles away through the mountains of Puerto Rico.
Oh.
So we took off when her labor pains got to the prescribed number. We just made it to the hospital in San Juan, Puerto Rico. And a half an hour later, Jean was born. She's probably thinking of divorcing me about that time. She was in an Army ambulance and I was following behind.
That is awful. Oh my gosh. Wow.
And then when I was discharged, it wasn't probably 6 months later, they would not let Ann get on the airplane because of the age of Jean, of the baby. So I had to go to the other side of the island of San Juan to muster out and get on a troop ship. And she had to stay with neighbors for a couple of weeks before they let her on a plane and head home.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm sure she was thinking of divorcing me then.
Oh, my, that's crazy.
It's quite an experience for her.
Yeah, I bet. It sounds like it. So you were married for over 50 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a piece of a marriage advice would you give to married couples?
You better be tolerant of one another, very considerate, and keep your mouth shut. Even when you don't want to.
Yeah.
That's what I tell my daughter here.
So you obviously moved to Puerto Rico. You lived there for a while. When did you finally move back to the United States again? What year was that?
Would have been 1956.
Okay. And then you moved back to Ohio?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and I went to work in a wastewater treatment plant as an operator, and worked there for, gosh, I don't know, 3-4 years. And then I had a friend down in Newark, Ohio, who was leaving his job as utility manager. And he called me and told me I ought to come down and interview for a job there in Newark, Ohio, to take his place. And I did. And I got that job. And then I wanted to do better than that. So I advertised, or somehow I got the word out that I wanted to do something better. And the American Water Works Company representative called me and asked me if I would want to go to Muncie, Indiana as their waterworks manager. And I did. I wound up here.
Mm-hmm. And you've been there ever since.
Well, no, I had other jobs. I should have stayed with them because I had a good future with them, but I would have had to bounce all over the country. Mm-hmm. They had water plants all over the country, and then they would take their better managers and keep moving them up into the bigger systems. And Ann didn't want to do that, and I really didn't want to do that either. Mm-hmm. So I didn't.
Yeah. So we obviously talked about your first child, but you ended up having 5 children. Could you name them?
Of course, there's the boss sitting right beside of me, Laura, and then Jane, and Susan, David, and Jean. They're all 5.
Mm-hmm. And did you ever think that you would have 5 children?
No, my wife didn't either. Yeah, but she did a heck of a job raising them. She really did. Mm-hmm. I admire her very much for that. And she's been gone 10 and a half years.
Wow. I'm sorry to hear that. Are there any funny or unusual things that your children did that stand out to you?
They did a lot of unusual things. Yeah. A lot of things I probably don't know about either. Laura's giving me the stop it. In other words, shut up. Oh man. I don't know.
Yeah.
I try to get my girls interested in fishing because that's my hobby now. I really like fishing, but I can never get the girls interested in it.
Really?
But both boys are very avid fishermen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm told that you brought home a beagle puppy, like, randomly.
Oh, yeah. And my wife was very unhappy with me with that. But then he started biting kids. He would bite them when they go by on a bicycle. So I gave him away to a friend of mine. And oh my God, Ann was really mad at me. I remember Jane coming home and saying, "Dad, I hate you."
You told me to go see him.
Oh yeah, Laura had to go visit him.
Oh my God. His name was Snoopy?
Yep.
What made you bring him home? You just felt like it?
Oh, I was the manager of the water company here at the time, and I got to know this guy, and he said, "Gene, I got a couple of puppies I'll give you if you want one." And I said, "Yeah, I'd like to have one." That's how I got the puppy.
And then you also had your kids help you build a canoe?
Yep, I gave them the dirty work. You know, I built a strip canoe, and there are 75 strips. 1/4 inch thick and 3/4 inch high, okay? You have to put them around a form, glue them together, and put staples in them until the glue dried. And Laura and Jane had to pull the staples out. They're still bitching about that today. I made a heck of a mess in the garage. It's a wonder my wife put up with it. But I fished out of that for almost 50 years. Eventually sold it for, I think it sold over $300. I had $100 in it when I built it. And then I sold it to a guy and bought a Kevlar that only weighed 40 pounds. That canoe weighed 75 pounds. And it was heavy to carry because we would go to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Mm-hmm. And one of the portages was a mile long. And I just got too dang old to lug that dang thing that far. So that's why I sold it.
Yeah.
But and one time, my son Gene and I were, I don't know how far away from camp we were, but it was almost dark, and he picked the canoe up, dropped it, and crack the whole side of it. So we would paddle like hell, pull up to shore, empty the water out, paddle like hell, empty the water. We eventually made it back home to camp. And then I got some duct tape and I duct taped it inside and out. It never leaked a drop the rest of the trip.
Really?
But then I had to replace the whole bottom of the canoe.
Oh my gosh. What lesson would you say that you stressed the most to your kids when they were growing up?
I think you just have to be yourself and be considerate of people less fortunate than you are, and never make fun of people who are, I'm going to say, ugly or aren't as pretty as others. Don't make fun of them. Be very tolerant and do the best you can. Whatever you do, do the right thing. And we don't always do that, but that's good advice for anybody. Do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And it isn't always easy to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, be my only comment.
Yeah. What is the most rewarding part about being a parent?
Most rewarding. To see them grow up and become adults and take care of themselves and follow the guidelines that I've just outlined. And they've done that all pretty well.
How many grandkids do you have?
7.
And what's your favorite part about being a grandpa?
Oh, when they're little, you know, they're precious. They're just precious. And they grow up and they kind of forget about grandpa. But that's all right. That's all right.
What advancement in technology or like the digital world has been the most significant to your life over the years?
Oh, boy. There's just been tremendous advances in technology that have left me behind. Laura's our expert here with the computer, thank God. Yeah, you know, so much has happened. Cell phones, computers. You know what I used when I first started? A slide rule. Have you ever seen a slide rule?
No, I haven't.
Get my slide rule. Okay. We'll show you.
Okay.
Yeah, slide rule does all kinds of calculations on it. But you got to figure out your own decimals. But that's what I used. Yeah, here it is. Can you see it all right?
Oh, my.
How about that? And it's got stuff on both sides. You multiply, divide, use trigonometry on it. Use all kinds of things. But this is what we had back then. No calculators at all. We had no calculators.
Yeah.
But I used this for a number of years. Then I gave it to my brother George when he was at Ohio State, and somebody stole the darn thing. And then he bought me this one then to replace it.
Wow.
I still tinker around with it a little bit, but I can't use half or more of the scales that are on it.
Mm-hmm.
Most people your age have never seen one, never heard one.
Yeah, I've never seen one. Do you think that our generation is hurting us that we do have this technology and we don't have to like do everything by it?
I don't think it's hurting you. That's the way it is. You know, that's what's happening. There's always changes taking place, most of them for the good. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think it hurts us.
Yeah. And then what historical event had the most impact on your life? What do you say?
World War II. The bombing of Pearl Harbor, that was terrible. You know, we lost 400,000 troops in that war, 400,000 because of the Japanese and Germans. And that's just a tragedy, you know.
Yeah.
And Vietnam and Korea were the same. We lost roughly 50,000 troops in each of those. Mm-hmm. And here we are, we're friends with the Vietnamese now.
Yeah.
And we're friends with the Germans and the Japanese. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. But we got others to worry about. We got Iran, China, Russia. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I'm not president of the United States to face those obstacles.
Yeah, I think anyone can agree.
World War II was probably the most significant event that happened to the world, because the whole world was aflame for years.
What is your favorite place that you've traveled to?
My favorite place, probably Ireland, because it's such a beautiful country.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I visited Ireland because my daughter Jane's husband had been transferred to England. So we went there to visit her in England.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to London. And then my wife and I took a plane over to Ireland and visited Southern Ireland by bus.
Oh, wow.
And it was is a beautiful country.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to tell you a joke about that. I can still remember, you know, my gosh, that must have been 20 years ago, 25 years ago. The bus driver was a character, and he was telling us this joke about this poor Irish lady that lost her husband and was grieving, and she felt so bad. She went to her parish priest and was complaining to him. He says, well, now you go back. Time will cure everything, and you just go on about your business. You'll be okay. Well, a couple of months later, she was back again. He says, I just can't handle it. And so the parish priest says, well, why don't you get yourself a talking parrot? I've got one, and he helps me a lot. So she gets this talking parrot. Well, the only thing the parrot could say was, my name is Susie, and I'm a swinger. And the poor old lady says, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? So she goes back to the parish priest. He says, well, I've got three parrots here. They're very religious. They pray the rosary all the time. Well, we'll put them in with Susie. We'll see if they can't straighten her out. So she puts them in with Susie. And, of course, Susie says, my name is Susie, and I'm a swinger. And this one parrot, Patty, says, Mike, throw the rosary away. Her prayers have been answered. I have never forgotten that after all these years.
Oh my God.
Some people on the bus laughed, some didn't. Oh, that.
What is your typical day like now? How do you spend your days?
Oh, I'm bored to death with this pandemic.
Yeah.
And I read and listen to music and watch football. Pretty boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. I work out on the elliptical a little bit.
Okay, that's good. As you look back on your life, who are the people who have impacted you or influenced you the most, would you say?
Well, a couple of guys helped me out a lot, particularly with getting jobs. Like I said, my friend in Zanesville, Ohio, got me the job in Newark. And then I had an engineering friend who got me a job with the engineering firm in Indianapolis. Those two guys were a big help to me because they gave me good references and they basically enabled me to get the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm indebted to them, and they're both gone now.
Would you say you have a favorite memory or a time period of your life?
No, I really don't. My favorite memories would have been growing up and wandering in the fields and streams when you didn't have a care in the world. Those are good memories.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be a fair answer.
Mm-hmm. And do you regret anything?
Oh, I have a lot of regrets. One of them is, you know, that I told you about the guy that outweighed me by 30 pounds when I fought him.
Yeah.
Well, that we had that match up in Henry Barracks up in the middle of the mountains. And then they had a return match with us at our place. And my boxing instructor would not let me fight him again. And I wish I had just insisted, because the worst he could have done would have been knock me out, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't, and I regret that. I wish that I had insisted on going in and wail the daylights out of him and let the chips fall.
Yeah.
I wish I'd done it. I regret that to this day.
Yeah.
And there are probably others. That one sticks in my mind. The other one is my senior year in football, we lost one game by 1 point, and that winning touchdown went over me.
Uh-huh.
That I did. But there was a tackle aside of me, and there was a linebacker in back of me. But the coach took it out on me. He raised hell with me, put me down on the third string the next week, and I just beat the daylights out of everybody in front of me. Then he put me back on the first string for the next game. But I didn't think it was fair, but he was trying to deliver a message. I got the message.
Oh, yeah. What advice would you give to my generation?
I'd have to think about that. And I'm not sure that I'm qualified to give you advice. But again, I would repeat, do the right thing. The best you can, do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And it isn't always easy to do that.
Yeah.
But you can't go wrong, you know. If you lie once, it's awful hard to come back and straighten it out.
Yeah.
You got to remember what you lied about.
Exactly.
Do the right thing.
Yeah.
Do the best you can and do the right thing.
And then.
And be tolerant. You know, there's a lot of people that are so unfortunate. Yeah, all you have to do is go to a doctor's office, and that reinforces that belief. Boy, you see people there that they're in awful shape. So you don't feel so sorry for yourself after you see them.
Mm-hmm. And then what do you believe is the most important thing in life?
Do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then finally, one more question. What do you hope to be remembered by?
That I did the right thing. Oh, that's a hard one to answer. I hope that I didn't make the world any worse than it was. Yeah, you always want to walk out of here knowing that you did the best you can. And sometimes you don't. Sometimes you screw up, but you start all over again. But I can't emphasize enough that you got to be tolerant of people less fortunate than you, because there's a heck of a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people aren't. I was just watching a special on Jackie Robinson, who was the first black man in baseball.
Yeah.
You may not know that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, what he went through was horrible, with a prejudice against him. You know, they would yell insults at him from the dugout. And he survived all of that and became a superstar. And it was just awful what some of the people try to do to him. Pitchers would deliberately aim for his head when they would pitch a ball to him, or they would hit him.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, he won them over.
Yeah. All righty. Well, I think that's it. Unless you can think of anything, or Laura, if you have anything that you want him to add.
You've done enough damage as you can do.
Be considerate of those less fortunate than you are and do the right thing. These are the things Jean Amlin advises to all, along with how important it is to be yourself. And with his honesty, tolerance, and humor, paired with his happy personality, as he has boxed, played football, fished, been a loving husband, father, and grandfather throughout his life, it is clear that Gene has taken his own advice every year of his journey.
Oh, okay. Good, that's pretty good.
What did you think I was going
to
do?
I don't know. Sure, I didn't think of all the dumb things I did.
Such a good job.
Okay. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too. Have a good rest of your day and a Merry Christmas.
You too. Yeah, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.